you have your program, I'd like you to turn to the very back of your program, and you'll find the scripture we're going to follow today. Our scripture comes from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. And it reads, I'm reading it from the New King James Version, and it reads, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So I want to speak to you today, our second part of God's kindness illustrated. And we started last week with the Gospel of Luke, like it's there in your introduction. Last week we looked at Luke chapter 6, verse 35c, where it says God is kind. And just for your memory, I put that back in there again in the program. And it reads, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High God, for the sons of the Most High, for He, God, is kind to the unthankful and evil." And so because God is kind, and Jesus Christ asked us to follow Him, He is God in the flesh. He wants us to also follow in this kindness. And so as I've thought about how we could try to illustrate this kindness of God in our own lives, I came upon this fourth chapter of Ephesians, where the apostle starts to talk to us about being kind and some things that help us to do this work that God has called us to do. And the work is being kind. Being kind is hard work. And especially in this day and age. And so I want to try to lift this up again and illustrate some things that will help us, particularly in this holiday season, help us to be kind. And in addition to that, hopefully next week, the Lord has laid some things on my heart about not only is being kind nice and good, but God says it is a requirement for us to be saved. God has this requirement of kindness. And I want to try to flesh that out more next week, why God is kind to us and what He is requiring of us in response to His kindness. You know, God is not kind to you just accidentally. He's kind to you on purpose. And He has a purpose for His kindness. And God says, now you demonstrate kindness to others, and God has a purpose when you and I demonstrate that kindness as well. So I'm looking forward to doing that next week. But for this week, I really wanted to focus in on how God wants to do some things in our lives that will bless us today. This is really about God blessing you and what God wants to do to bless you. And so I put it there in the first part of your outline. It says the word let. Somebody say let. Let is the first word spoken by God in creation. The very first word God speaks in creation, you read that in the book of Genesis, is this word let. And so it is important for us. God wants us to follow Him. And so the very first word God speaks in creation is, let there be light. That's the first time we hear God speak. And the very first word out of God's mouth as He speaks is this word, let. And so it's not by accident that the Apostle Paul now is speaking to us, and he says this word, let. And he says it on purpose, going all the way back to the creation story. He says it on purpose because he says, because God was positive and brought light. Remember, Jesus says Jesus is the light of the world, and then he asked us to be the light in him. Jesus declares Jesus is the light of the world, and then he declares you are the light of the world. Those of us that will accept him, the light of Christ is to shine through us. We are to let the world see the light of Christ in us. And because of that, then the apostle now is picking it up, and he says, since the first word out of God's mouth was let, then the apostle says, it's important for us not to let corrupt things come out of our mouths. That's why he says, let no corrupt word. And remember, the first word was something positive. It was light. Let there be light. So the apostle says, now, don't you let negative things come out of your mouth. Don't let malice and evil speaking and bad things, even if you have something difficult to say, something tough to say, something people won't like, if you have something that you know they're not going to like to say, and it's the truth, and you need to say it nicely. Say it with kindness. Don't tell me my breath stink. Tell me, I got a mint you should take. You really need to take this mint. You can find some nice way to get your message across, and it doesn't have to be evil, and it doesn't have to be harsh, and it doesn't have to be mean. You can say it in a nice way. That's why I asked my wife to give me a mint before I came up here. I said, I didn't want you saying that to me after service. Yeah. God wants you and I to be kind. And so the first thing he says is you're going to be kind, then let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Don't say evil things. Don't say mean-spirited things and think that you're going to be all right. God does not like evil. Even when it's true, God says there's a better way to say what's true. And we need to find that better way. As Apostle Paul says, more excellent way. We need to find that more excellent way. And it's always rooted in kindness. It's rooted in God's mercies. It's rooted in being kind to one another. And so the apostle makes it real clear to us right from the start. He says, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. Do not be speaking evilly. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. He said, but what should come out, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace. Somebody say grace. You want to be graceful when you speak. That's not being, not necessarily being eloquent, being charming. It's just letting the grace of God come through in your speech. Let God's grace come through. And this is important because God uses his grace from the very beginning. Let there be light. That was graceful. And God wants you and I to let grace come through as we speak. And it is important for us to allow God to have his way in our lives. And this moves us to the second part of this outline. It says, the next verse, verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Second part of the outline, do not grieve the Holy Spirit whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, you need this Holy Spirit. Every adult needs the Holy Spirit. Every teenager needs the Holy Spirit. Every child needs the Holy Spirit. Every human being needs this Holy Spirit. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to have its way in our life, and it will have its way if we will allow it to. Remember, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you will let me in, I'll come in and I will sup with you. His Spirit will live in you. His Spirit will reside in you. It will abide in you. But you need to invite the Holy Spirit in. And you cannot invite the Holy Spirit in. You absolutely cannot invite the Holy Spirit in if you're speaking corrupt words out of your mouth. I know, because I used to curse. I used to practice cursing. I look back at that former self, I said, what a fool you were. But God was using that to make me aware of the fact that I wasn't being what he wanted me to be. And if you're constantly not being what God wants you to be, God, you know what God's going to do? He's going to do what he did with the Apostle Paul. That's why Paul's writing. He had to knock Paul down. He knocked me down. And I'm telling you, because he'll knock you down if you keep letting corrupt words come out of your mouth. If you're gonna let corrupt words come out of your mouth, God himself will correct you. God himself will knock you down. And when God knocks you down, my brother and sister, that's a hard fall. God will knock you down. In fact, not only did he knock the Apostle Paul down, he blinded him. Paul was knocked down, and when he got knocked down, he also became blind. And then he couldn't get around on his own. He sent him, who Paul considered an enemy, God sent him to the enemy's house. And the enemy said, I don't want him at my house. God says, well, it may not be what you want, but it's what God wants. His name was Ananias, and Ananias said, God, if it's what you want, I'll take him in. I want you to know, I'm going on the record, I don't want him in my house. But if you say he must come, then I'm going to tell him, come on in. I don't know if he ever actually welcomed him in, but he did tell him to come on in. And when he was in there, he was there for several days. And then God told Ananias, now I want you to pray for him. And when you pray for him, the scales will fall off his eyes. God will have you do some things even for your enemies that you didn't plan on doing and you probably didn't even want to do. But God said, this is what he wants from you. And when you do what God wants from you, God will bless you. He blesses. And so it's important for you and I to not grieve the Holy Spirit, because every believer, God pulls his spirit in you. Now, it's up to you whether you allow that Holy Spirit to have his way. If you're doing things that you know are against the spirit, you know this is not what God wants from your life, then you need to say to God, give me the strength to turn around. Some of you may have mouths that speak too quickly. And some even have mouths that say the wrong things. Curse words and evil words and negative words. And our God says, I want you to change that. Now, here's what I know about your mouth. God will not change your mouth for you. You have to decide you want to do that for yourself. And God will empower you and strengthen you, and he will make it clear to you, this is God's will for you, and then it's up to you to make the decision to do it. God will put it right before you. You heard that expression, you lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. God will, he'll lead you to the water, but he won't make you drink it. You have to decide it's right to do, and it's worth the effort to do, and then God will empower you to get it done. If you want the Holy Spirit to come in your life, the very first thing you got to get out of your life is corruption. You can't have fresh water and salt water living in the same container. And so you got to decide, I want the fresh water of God in my life. But when you make that decision, then you also are deciding that I want the corruption that's already in me, I got to pull that out. And when you pull that out, the Holy Spirit will come in and will reside in you. And then will also, as he talks about in verse 30, you also will become sealed. That means that you don't have to worry about having any leaks. Don't worry about stuff leaking out. I'm still tempted. I know every curse word I've ever known. And from time to time, I'm tempted to use some of those words. You know, the LA traffic and dealing with church folks and just stuff. Tempted to use some of those words. But then I remember this verse, but I've been sealed. God said if you allow that to happen, it's not because you were not sealed. It's because you decided to break the seal. And every time I think about breaking the seal, it makes me shudder. It makes me afraid because God might not seal it back. He says, you read it in Hebrews, he said, if you turn away from what I've sealed, and you do like Lot's wife and you decide to look back, God says, you're not worthy to be saved. You've decided that you would break the seal. The seal means that this has been officially closed. Only God can break that seal. Only God has, let me say it this way, the more truthful way to say it, only God has the authority to break the seal. You can break it, but you don't have the authority to break it. You're being a criminal when you break it. You're being disobedient when you break it. It's not your seal, and you don't have the authority or the right to break it. I'm glad I've been sealed. And when the devil attempts me to break the seal, I said, but what do you have that's better than what I have? What is better than having Christ live in you? What is better than having the Savior of the whole world residing in you? There is nothing better. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of Christ. There is nothing better. Now, you may not have received the best yet. In fact, the scripture says the best is yet to come. But God has a future for us. He has plans for us. And he said, now, if you will honor the seal, at that day of redemption, God said, it's going to be better for you than you could have even imagined. God has a glorious future for us. So don't let any bitterness or any of that stuff come. God has a great future for us. And it's based on what he's done with his Holy Spirit. Let me get to the third part of his outline. It says, it's further explained, and this is in verse 31, let all bitterness, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away with from you with all malice. Let all of that be put away. Put away all those things, your anger. And remember the scripture said you could be angry but don't sin. Your anger without sin can be glorious and can be good and can be godly, but it has to be without sin. God wants you and I to make sure whatever happens in our lives, we don't commit ourselves and yield ourselves to sin. That's the most important. We need Christ foremost and strong in our lives. And if you have sin in your life, you're not going to have God at his foremost and at his strongest. You're going to have to deal with that sin. And the Holy Spirit will help you deal with every sin in your life. Let me get to the last part. This is the last part. It says, lastly, be kind. Be kind to one another. Our God is a kind God. I put that in your outline so that you will see in Luke 6:35, God is kind. And then we are challenged, each one of us, we are challenged also to be kind. Be kind. This is an important phrase that the apostle uses, and this is the last verse in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. This very last verse in Ephesians chapter 4, and it's last because it is preceded by that previous verse, verse 31, where it talks about bitterness, wrath, and anger. And so now he's given the opposite of what he had talked about in verse 31. He says, and let me close it. The close is be kind. And then it says, not only be kind to one another, but be tenderhearted and forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Be kind because God has been kind to you. Be kind because that's who God is. He's a kind God. Be kind. You ever heard of the Beatitudes? Well, the Beatitudes is really showing you and I how we ought to be. It talks about being merciful, being peacemakers, being what God is pleased with. And so God is saying, this is what I want you to be. Be kind. Now, for some of you, that's going to be really hard to do. But God said, it's worth it. You're going to be more like Christ when you decide you're going to be kind. So being kind is what God is asking of us and what God actually is empowering us to do. Being kind is part of what it means to be in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. We ought to be kind. And being kind, I was reading a paper called the Epoch Times. Epoch Times, which is kind of a conservative paper, a weekly paper, but it caught my attention because it's that particular week earlier this month, it had an article on being kind. And the University of California, one of our, I don't know if it was Dominguez Hills or which one of those University of California's it was, but one of them did a study on being kind, and they found out that our bodies release enzymes in our system, and it actually shows up in your blood system, and it starts to have an impact on your immune system. And they found this, I think it was 671 people they did this study with, and they found out that this enzyme actually reduces stress. And when you are kind to somebody, it actually brings your blood pressure down. It brings your stress level down. It releases other enzymes that make your body stronger just because you were being kind. And so there are actually some biological, scientific DNA results that show kindness actually will help you doing that which God has already commanded us to do. When we allow God's word to manifest itself in our lives, it makes our lives better. You want to be healthier? Then be more kind. Thank you for that one amen. Being more kind means that we are being more like our God. God challenges us and says to us to be kind. I'm going to tell you this story, and then I'll be finished for today. I was reading in this same newspaper about a cab driver. This cab driver says he picked up a lady. She was somewhere in her 80s, and her two sons had passed away. Her husband had passed away. She was the last one in her family. And her landlord, she was living in New York City, the landlord saw that she was starting to get forgetful. She would forget to pay the rent. You know that's a problem. And then she was forgetting to turn off the water. She was forgetting to turn the stove off and stuff like that. And he wanted her to, he actually called a hospice place to come out. And they did an evaluation. They said she cannot live alone. She's going to hurt herself, and she may hurt somebody else. I think about 10, 12 apartments in that building. They said it's not going to be safe for her to live by herself. So they arranged for her to have hospice care, but she had to move out of her apartment into another place that provided hospice care. And so she called this cab driver to take her to this new place where she was going to be getting hospice care. But she says to the driver, I want to go by the school that my sons used to go to. I want to go to the church that my husband and I were married at. And she named about 10 places that she wanted to go before this driver took her to the hospice care. And he said that, well, that could be expensive. She said, oh, whatever it is, I'm going to pay it. She gave him $100 up front and said, whatever it costs beyond that, I will pay that also. He gave her the $100 back. He said, no, let's find out what it's going to cost first. We'll go to these places. And each place he took her, about 10 places, she would name some event that had happened at that place. And then finally they made it to the hospice place. And she says to him, I won't see you again. I think this is going to be my final destination. And the man said that he was so moved by what she had been pointing out to different places. He was so moved, he says to her, she said, how much do I owe you now? He hit the button that hit to show the amount, and he said he on purpose hit it twice. And when he hit it the second time, it erased all of the amounts. So he said, well, you know what? It's showing zero. He said, I can't charge you anything because he let her see it. She said, yeah, but I saw you hit it twice. He said, this is not my first New York cab now. She said, yeah. He said, yeah, I know you saw me hit it twice. He said, because I know that God is with you, even when you go into hospice. And he says, I think God has some great things in store for you because I've only known you. He said it took about an hour to ride her around all these different places in New York. He said, I've only known you about an hour, and I'm already impressed with you in just an hour. He said, now, if you have more time with people, the people when you're going to live here, they're going to be impressed with you also. Just because of the kindness that God has instilled in you, somehow or another, you let that kindness out. And my brother and sister, what I want you to know is if you have kindness in you, God will let that kindness out. God will let it bless somebody. God will let it smile on somebody. God will let it lift somebody. This cab driver said, even though I didn't make any money on that fare, I was ennobled. I was amazed. I started feeling joy in my life. I started feeling great because God allowed me to meet a woman who had kindness. Kindness makes a difference. Kindness changes our world. We need to be kind. We need to be kind. That's what our Christ was to us. Even while we were sinners, when we were in our sin, our Christ was kind to us. I hope and pray we'll be kind to somebody. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me?